I fucked up. I made a mistake. Nobody does it better than myself. I'm sorry. I'm not afraid to say. I wish I could take it back, but I can't.
Hey everybody, we're back. Manny here with the lovely
Cheryl,
and this week's song was Madonna's "I Fucked Up" off of her new album MDNA. Please go to iTunes and download it. Don't steal music; it's not cool.
But it's apropos for this week's podcast
because we're talking about fucking up. Which, by the way, I do want to point out, this is like the fourth time we've started this, because as soon as we sat down to record, we got like the serious case of the coughs. Like, I mean,
keep telling him to stop, pause, stop stopping it. Stop starting over. Stop it.
I could not get Madonna's...
It's called editing.
Yeah, I couldn't get Madonna's song out of my mouth. It was just, it was a train wreck.
What if?
Moving on. So moving on. So we're going to jump straight into some business first. We had a little bit of a technical issue last week. The first 15 minutes of the podcast did not make it to the download. We're literally recording this. So the podcast posted on Friday. We're recording this on Sunday.
Found out on Sunday that the other podcast was not completely...
Our second episode. Yes. The full podcast did not make it. So hopefully it will be rectified. If you want to hear those first 15 minutes, go back into the archive. I'm sure once this column gets archived,
it'll
be fixed. But hopefully...
It's not that important.
It's totally
important.
It's
going to be okay, people.
It's totally important.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
It explains the Kesha song at the beginning.
Why? Oh, because people can't get that we do blah, blah, blah.
No, but it had serious feedback then.
And it was at the
end.
We talked
about it.
I think it's going to be okay.
Okay, so that being said, let's jump right into our fucktard of the week, which we will eventually. I'm determined to get a theme song together for this segment, because it just happens so often that...
Seriously. It's kind of sad that it does.
Right. This one, though, is such a special case that I'm pretty sure we're going to generate about 30 minutes on this person alone, because it bears delving into, sort of...
Does everybody know about the first part of this thing?
No.
Oh, no.
No, we're telling the story.
Nothing at all.
We're telling
the
whole story.
Gotcha.
So the fucktard of the week this week, on Tuesday, I received an email through my work account of a person who was sending a query letter, and the subject line of the email was simply his name, query letter, and then attachment in parentheses. And literally the email, the only thing on the email was "see attached, smiley face." Now, let's talk about that for a second. Who opens that? I mean, I did, but...
Apparently he thought he was so the shit that his name alone in the subject would compel you to open it.
There was absolutely no reason at all for, I literally opened it because, okay.
That's what you do.
Curiosity.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is probably his main goal.
Right.
Curiosity was going to overwhelm. So I open up the letter, and it's literally a fucking book. It says, "Hey Manny," and then it says, "Regards, movies that move emotions first, then dazzle the senses." So here's the first section of his letter, which I think is pretty hysterical, because of the sort of the cockiness that is coming across. "If we're both lucky, you're about to have more fun with a writer than you ever imagined. Ditto me with a producer, although I've never had one. In addition to your savoring some knockout reads, Copelson will enjoy even greater successes than it has had already, and that is saying something." So how do you feel about that?
I'm embarrassed.
We're in the gutter, and he has the scripts and the know-how to lift us to the top of the mountain.
This is literally the nerdy guy dressed in high waters and a plaid shirt that goes up to a model who's 7 foot and says, "Baby, you want to see sex? You want to see good sex? You need to come with me."
This is it.
And I'm embarrassed.
So the next section is, "How did you luck out so? The Great American Pitch Fest? Not! I wasn't there. I'd actually booked it, received the producer's list with your name, then decided that four of my scripts and one of my novels needed more work. Guess how I've been amusing myself between then and now. Now,
trying to save up money for an airplane ticket to get to the Pitch Fest.
This is actually the thing that pisses me off, and it happens all the fucking time, where what this guy just said is, look, I had no intentions to go to the Pitch Fest. I just wanted that book. That book that everybody gets that has everybody's contact information in it with everybody's company sheet. So now he's going around sending this out to people where that $400 or however much the Pitch Fest cost, this was what he did it for. He had no intentions of ever going to the Pitch Fest.
I'm just saying he saved a flight.
No, he did not save a flight because he has an 818 area code, so he lives in the Valley.
Oh, okay.
Okay, next section. What the Fest list did not reveal is Copelson open-minded about new writers? Apologies, but what would be offered to studios from me are tentpole type or high concept, super engaging drama, or raging heartfelt comedy studio pieces designed for major stars and buffo box office. Okay, I blush. Go.
We're not on a dating site. I didn't just send you a picture of, I didn't send you a cock shot and blush. I don't even get that.
My stuff's so good. I'm so embarrassed that my stuff is so good.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Again, embarrassed.
I'm so embarrassed that my stuff is so good. The next line, more apologies, but like Joanne Rowling doesn't even call her JK. She's like, yo, me and JoJo.
Yeah, me and JoJo.
We was hanging at the castle.
Way back.
We was kicking it.
Way back.
We was kicking it.
Nom.
And then she was like, Copelson, hook it up. So, more apologies. Again, I must apologize for the level of talent that I have.
Yes. And my cockiness.
But like Joanne Rowling, Stephen King, and Robert Bolt, before they became paid writers, I am a high school English teacher. And one who, for years, has also taught film. I know. Yawn. In parentheses. And still do, somewhat illegally these days, what with the elimination of many non-core embellishment classes like drama. So, yes, in a query letter, let's make a political statement about how the government is killing the arts and woohoo, boohoo, blah, blah, fuck, fuck. Which sadly and ironically produced many, many modern high achievers in non-core fields. But that's another, in parentheses, and in quotations, standardized testing story. Exclamation point.
The parentheses throughout this letter so far, we're three paragraphs in. We got like three, four parentheses of secret note, side note to you.
Jokes, comments. Well, and he clearly feels like he's being way
so
too cutesy.
Entertaining. Very entertaining.
Aren't you just so entertained about my wittiness and my honesty about how things go? So this is, you're going to love this next part. So 3 years ago, I found myself staring at 22 screenplays and two novels. I had written one per summer for like ever. So for 22 years.
He didn't say like, did he?
Yes.
Like?
I had written one per summer for, comma, like, comma, ever.
Okay.
For so, like, ever?
That's a professor.
Hello?
Oh my God.
Grew up in the Valley?
God,
818 number?
Very tubular.
Like, oh my God, I have 22 screenplays. What do I do?
Like.
Within a year, here we go. This is a good one. Within a year, I tossed out a third as unsalvageable and began updating, rewriting, and polishing the rest. Did not rewrite and polish a sentence. Within a year, I tossed out a third as unsalvageable.
No, it's just a mess. Everything's a mess.
Okay, anyway, moving on. With the help, I should add, of my kids, their friends, my students, and fellow teachers. Okay.
Which obviously makes it that much better.
Let's talk about the sentence. With the help, I should add, of my kids, their friends, my students, and fellow teachers, I did this. should be what comes next.
Right.
But what actually happens is, my friends, my students, and fellow teachers, period. Then the next sentence, John Ford often said his best critic was his barber. Alas, no barber on my team, although many other amazing, intelligent, diehard, pop, quote-unquote, popcorn movie lovers are.
That, what? I, you know what?
So what did they help you do?
Unless you're friends with Scorsese, family with Pacino, who are these people that have made your script so that good?
Well, I mean, clearly his friends and family
are Al Pacino.
Nobody.
Scorsese. Blah.
Okay, so the next section. Never had a producer, never took anything to the marketplace. Hated reading my own scripts after I'd finished because to me they were so ugh. And he literally does, in quotations, A-U-G-H.
Ugh. Oh my God.
Anyway, I was writing for fun. In parentheses, exclamation point.
Yes.
Never looked back, just started a new one every summer, each in a different genre. I bore easily, again, in parentheses.
Because you are so smart.
And clever. Then my teen and older kids got hold of them, became stoked, and eventually got me stoked, or maybe guilt-tripped, into rewriting them into marketable form. Which, okay, wait, hang on. Marketable form? What? How does he know what marketable form is? He just writes a screenplay and puts it in a drawer.
He's a professor.
An English teacher, a high school English
teacher. Who says like and knows how to put it in commas. Knows how to put it in commas.
And knows how to use his parentheses very well.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Does he have dot, dot, dots anywhere?
No, he... He does use the dot, dot, dots.
Oh, thank God. Okay, so we're texting with this guy. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, he's going to be writing them into a marketable form. So the next section is, which everyone but me seems to think they're now in. I'll remain skeptical until someone flies me somewhere first class. Don't think that's going to happen. Not with a letter like this. I mean, and we, first of all, we haven't even heard any ideas. We got nothing. We don't know what he's writing. We don't know what genres he works in. We know nothing. This is just his introduction. Would you ask for log lines after reading this?
I started reading this and went, oh my God. And I went two paragraphs in and stopped.
I continued on because it's
yes,
comedy
you
gold.
Did.
It's comedy
it is
gold.
Comedy.
It's comedy gold.
But I didn't take it seriously.
So you're not going to fly him out first class?
No.
No first class?
Nah.
So the next section, my piece is cut. So now we're finally getting into it. My piece is cover. Okay, great. What do you write? My pieces cover almost every genre extant, from buddy comedies to love stories. Fantasy, sci-fi, teen horror, high school basketball, and boxing comedy dramas to a teen historical epic, a DC Comics superheroes piece, a sizzling film noir, a classic violent western with love story, a teen-slash-adult rom-com musical, an elegantly framed zombie tale, an erotic couples comedy, and an action-suspense piece in which the hero must, within 24 hours, try to prevent the leveling of Manhattan's major landmarks and towers. Yes, that was all one sentence, and yes, that was a run-on. I tried not to pause.
There really is no need to look for any other writer for Copelson but this guy.
This guy, this he is. Covers everything.
No, seriously.
He covers everything.
There's no point.
I mean,
why would you go anywhere else?
A teen adult rom-com musical.
Whatever you want. No.
You want that?
The point
he's
is.
He's got it.
The point is, whatever you want, he can write it.
This is true. And I believe him. Why wouldn't I? He just said it. It's in writing. It's got to be true, right?
The internet doesn't lie.
The internet doesn't lie. As you request, I'll send you a page of one-sentence titles and log lines. Another exists that includes potential lead actors. Oh, goody. Thank you so much. It makes my job so much easier when you tell me who you're going to get.
Star.
Right.
Who should star in the movie.
Depending on the savviness of the studio exec or reader, each will be viewed as a green-lightable shooting script. FYI, before teaching, I was in film editing and worked for Lean, Spielberg, Lucas, etc. They never shoot or edit with a truncated selling script. In parentheses, 90 pagers being in vogue today? Question mark. All three wanted far more detail from the writer than in today's culture. They could always cut what didn't work, but adding was far dicier. that fucking paragraph's all over the board. So basically he's saying, look, I'm long-winded. There's going to be some stuff in there. But hey, that's how Spielberg wanted it. You know what I'm saying?
No. I know so much about production that I will tell you how this is going to go down as soon as we go into production.
As soon as we go into the studio.
Yeah.
Greenlightable.
This is what's happening.
This is a shooting script, bitch.
And we'll cut stuff later, dude. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, shoot it all.
Let's shoot it first.
So then he ends with kind of, you know, I got to say he had a little bit of, you know, Nostradamus ability here. Because he says, a favor, don't ask for my best, in quotation mark. Which, as you know, when we deal with the a la carte screenwriter, that's what we always do. What's your fucking best, dude? You tell me.
It's your scripts.
Just pick the one that seems the most intriguing, or the one that you might be the most skeptical about entertainment-wise, and as a hot, immediate studio sale. When you read it, you'll see that if it is with the right studio, it will delight its creative team and sell. That last sentence is in italics, sell is in bold and underlined. Sincerely, Fucked Heart of the Week.
Today only, Blue Light Special, $99.99.
It will sell.
Only 1 hour, people. 1 hour. You got to get this.
And this is why he is the Fucked Heart of the Week. That query letter, although it was comedic gold, is not the reason why this guy is the Fucked Heart of the Week.
So not done.
Because.
So not done, people.
2 days later. As I said, I got the query letter on a Tuesday. 2 days later, on Thursday.
Would have just let it go. Would have just went by the wayside.
At 8 o'clock in the morning, this dude was up and ready to go.
Yep.
On Thursday, 2 days later, he sends me an email. Same subject line as before. Hey again, Manny. Apologies as you're no doubt slammed, but a reminder to select the synopsis and or script that makes the most sense regarding Copelson in terms of its goals, slate, budget levels, etc. Assuming for the moment that it will be good, maybe even a great read, I blush again, in parentheses, and then in parentheses again, humbly however, exclamation point. Then, in addition to attaching the log lines, I'll embed them below for your convenience. Hint, don't overthink this, just toss a likely dart. Cheers, and on to glory, and then in parentheses, in London too. Exclamation point.
Seriously. Yeah, he's just sitting there saying, everything I write is so beautiful. I don't even know why I'm not rich yet. I don't even know.
Don't even think.
I don't even know why I'm not rich. Are we going to go into the log lines of this?
We so are.
Okay.
There's no way. Okay. There's no way we can.
All right.
So.
I just feel very embarrassed for this person over and over again. I shut off TV that embarrasses me like this, by the way.
This is a really bad reality show.
It's serious.
Like, seriously. Oh, do you not know seriously? You look fucktarded? So, I open the log lines, and of course, I have to gloss over a couple of them. Now, for the audience's sake, let's assume they don't know what a log line is. Even though I've spent 99 weeks...
Like ghost hunters that have to tell what an EMF detector is? Let's do it.
But here's...
This is what a log line is, people.
Here's the reason.
No. It's because log line is a what?
A log line is a one-sentence statement that sums up what your movie's about.
Okay. We will use that. We're going to cut that part, and that will be repeated over and over in this podcast. Just it that way.
So let's read the very first... quote unquote log line in parentheses. I'm blushing. I'm embarrassed. Exclamation point. It is called Alt Root. It is a teen horror. Busload of teens is stranded / cut off in an eerie town located above a pit to hell. Cool. That's good. But does it end
Stop.
There? But does it end there?
No.
It does not.
No.
One quote unquote loner scholar ball player senses collision with the quote unquote locals. By three teen wannabe witches, otherwise innocent cheerleaders who have reached out and, quote-unquote, playfully to the master, quote-unquote, our 18-year-old hero finds a confidant in the attractive 20-something cheerleading coach. Things go from bad to impossibly worse as the pair try against all odds to intervene as the group's lives and futures gradually succumb to the, in parentheses, literal lower depths. Gimmick. : whenever they turn away from the quote-unquote outsiders, in parentheses reverse angle, these quote-unquote citizens are seen as terrifying demons.
I just want to say that I love that you're putting all of the...
theatricalities?
Seriously. Because it is that annoying. Seriously. Quote unquote. Parentheses. I'm so cute. Listen to this. A little side note just for you. Oh my God. Stop. It was supposed to be a sentence. A sentence.
Exactly. Exactly. And here you have a paragraph of just nonsense. So there's cheerleaders who are witches.
It doesn't even matter.
And then he teams up with the cheerleading coach, but then there's locals that are outside. I don't even know what the fuck is going on.
It doesn't even matter. You already lost somebody after the first sentence. It's a log line. Again, go to the site that you were talking about, scripts that are for sale.
Right.
Brief as possible. Almost secret. Almost secret. You're supposed to just capture somebody with, like, a secret.
All right, so let's dive into a couple more here.
All right.
Let's skip to a comedy romance called Holidays. It's got to be good. It's about the holidays, right?
Right. Copelson.
Divorced guy woos girl with former, in parentheses, current, question mark, girlfriend.
Okay, can we stop doing that? Let's just assume that he does that all over the place.
It has to be. A girlfriend of whom he is... at first unaware, and an increasingly chilly Minnesota between Halloween and New Year's. Both, in parentheses, actually all three, are smitten yet nervous as love fights an uphill battle to find a way. But which, with whom? The goodbye girl flirts with four weddings and a funeral and the proposal in a frosty, festive milieu. Milieu. So, I don't even know. Can you even tell me what that movie's about?
You ready?
Okay, go.
It's about minutia. Ha ha! I beat Malou. It's minutia.
The word
that's
of the week
what
is
all
minutia.
That is minutia.
So wait, it's, no wait, seriously.
No,
wait.
I have no idea. No,
I just read it.
Stupid
girlfriend who is first unaware, and then he's in Minnesota with her between Halloween and New Year's, so he's going to go through
a few holidays. So tired.
And right. Then they're smitten yet nervous. As love.
And,
oh, it
you know,
is minutia.
See, what was going to happen was I was going to read the third log line, and then you bored me to death, and then I stopped. And now I'm not going to read anything you ever send me ever again. I don't care how good it gets. I will never read it. But Manny's going to go make some fun of some more. So
yes, we definitely have to make fun of some more.
Yeah, but as an executive,
We're not making fun of. We're doing this for educational purposes.
Yes, we are.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, yes. In parentheses and quotations.
Say no more.
We have to talk about his fantasy adventure romance, Long Ago and Far Away. A guy and lady in their 70s, in parentheses, attractive young stars via CG and makeup.
He's got them picked out, I'm sure.
Fall deeply in love and marry. When they learn she has only a short time to live, they seek the help of a mystical lady who offers them the chance to travel back in time to attempt to materialize a meeting between their younger selves so they might begin their lives over again together. Near miss suspense at every turn. ! Near miss suspense.
Back to the Future.
It is Back to the Future, pretty much. Like, yeah, why don't you guys go back and try to get that shit back in the future. Let's go get that.
And I might be my mom and the person I'm supposed to marry and the person, gonna do that. It's been done.
And
you're not special.
But here's the twist. He's not wearing Calvin Klein underwear. He's wearing Tommy Hilfiger. Look at that. And his mom thinks his name is Tommy. That'd be great. This is actually really interesting because this, you know, they always tell you if you don't have the rights to it, don't fucking write it. Did that stop this guy?
No.
No. No, it did not. Script called The Marvel Family. Wonder what that's about. Adolescent comic book heroes, extended treatment. Not the full script, he's a smart man. Captain Marvel, Mary Marvel, and Captain Marvel Jr., superhero alter egos of their troubled 2012 Dickensian.
Dickensians. I'm not with you on the page.
Dicksonians?
Okay.
When you say characters are Charles Dickens, they're
Dicksonian.
But that's not what he said.
No.
Dickensian. Yay.
All right.
We figured that out on the air. Hang on. So what were we talking about? Alter egos of their troubled 2012 Dickensian adolescent waif / street urchins uncover their origins as adolescents. Hey, keyword here, adolescent. Everybody's adolescent. Then fight the good fight as superhero adults to save the world and each other.
So here's what's going to be happening. We are going to actually pick one of these scripts to be sent.
We have to. I think we have to.
I agree.
So let's keep going. Let's keep going and find one.
No, I'm not reading all of these log lines. It's not going to happen.
No.
You pick one and let's look at
the script. No, there's not that many left.
Make fun of that.
How can you not want to hear about Palooka?
Okay. Palooka. Go, baby.
Boxing / love story. The quest of a naive young cowboy / boxer for his young son and the stunning wife who has abandoned him leads Jed Palooka through the sinister underbelly of Las Vegas toward changes in the perspectives and values that had guided him, a near future awaits via a tough yet vulnerable showgirl, her daughter, and a complex, tough black trainer. But he must win an impossible bout to reclaim custody of his
son. Can I say your adjectives are overwhelming? The fact that you have 9 adjectives in one sentence is not grammatically correct, for one thing. I don't think there's any English teacher that would say putting 9 adjectives about something. And I want you to stop reading now, because literally, you're like giving away all this guy's best ideas.
That's true.
You could be doing a copyright thing here. Let's stop now. But the amount of adjectives to say how wonderful your script is excessive. Obviously, the point is, it's supposed to be a sentence or two, possibly. And these are obviously excessive. Obviously.
Way excessive.
Okay, so fucktard of the week on so many levels. So many levels.
So, it's been 2 days since I received these log lines. So, I'll be curious to see. There will be a follow-up.
Yeah. Literally, next week, he's going to have to go over your head because you aren't responding quickly enough, so he's going to have He's very sorry that he has to do that. I wonder if he reads your column. Do you think?
Probably not.
Apparently not, right? Because...
If not...
Because he's doing all this stuff, so he has no idea we're doing this.
No.
Wow.
Oh, well. All right, so, okay, that's enough of the fucktard of the week. But seeing how this show is all about fucking up, I finally get to tell this story. And I've been holding on to this for some time, mainly because I was waiting for the check to cash.
Check to clear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The check has been received. The check is cleared. I can now tell this story. So I really want to preface this story by saying that I'm not going to go into details of the people involved or who the magazine was for. It's really a story. It's a cautionary tale because I made some mistakes. I fucked up, as what this show is about, and I didn't ask questions that I should have asked.
They asked you to write kind of an exposé on Sundance.
Right. Prior to Sundance actually taking place, and it wasn't really actually an exposé. At first, we didn't know what it was supposed to be.
Interviewing people, which is not something you normally do.
Right. I am no way, shape, or form an investigative journalist. I don't ask questions. I'm not the guy. You know, I think it's fair to say last week with Cade, I mean, if we're just sitting around shooting the shit, that's fine.
And truly, that was just out of the blue. That was not something that was...
But I'm not like Piers Morgan or anything where I'm going to get like hard.
But you did. You actually did turn into that kind of person that went, do you know so-and-so? I need to get in touch with so-and-so who did this.
Well, yeah, but that's a different story.
No, I'm just saying. You worked hard on it.
I did.
You worked very hard on getting contacts and interviews. They were great interviews.
The setup for that, too, is and this is mistake number one. Well, mistake number one was not really clearly defining what they wanted.
Correct. And we'll go through what we should have done in the end, but...
But, yeah, mistake number one was they had basically asked me to track down people and get their favorite Sundance moment.
Right. So you came up with how many stories?
I think I tracked down about 6 different people.
Okay.
Just within the inner circle.
Okay.
Okay, so mistake number 2 was not asking how long this was supposed to be. I had no...
And that's what I'm saying. No. So at the end of those 6 people, you kind of turned in what you had.
Well,
and they came back and said...
Actually, I did not turn it in. I was asked to turn in what I had.
Oh, okay.
And which is funny because that's mistake number 3, which was there was never a deadline attached.
Right.
It was just go out, see if you can get some people to get their moments, and then turn it into us.
Again, mistakes at the end. But we're just going, stepping through how you did it. So you got to, they came back. You turned in
I turned in 6
they
stories.
They came back and said,
this is not enough stories. You need more.
So then you went, oh, wait a minute.
Right. And
how
that,
many stories?
No, but that's just it. I didn't do that. That was the next mistake.
Oh, I thought you did at that point.
No, because I was assuming the average article that I write for BOCI is 1,000 words.
Right.
And that's usually too long. So I had no direction on what this actually was supposed to be. I was thinking it was a sidebar piece, which is probably maybe 500 words. But then they wanted me to get more and more stories. This was not enough. And I didn't ask the right questions, which, again, it's my fault. They just said, we need more.
So you finished. You got as many people they wanted.
I think at the end, I want to say I got anywhere between 16 and 20. I don't remember. This was months ago.
Right, right. But you got what they wanted. Very close.
And you know, I have no shame in name dropping because it's actually important, which is what I'm so upset about the most, is they were not just random people in the industry.
No, nobodies.
It was Jessica Bendinger, who had written Bring It On and written and directed Stick It. It was the Mulroonies, who just wrote Sherlock Holmes 2. Graham Taylor, who's a huge top agent at WME. Matt Singer from IFC News. I mean, I literally started hitting people up, like celebrity Twitter feeds. I literally started hitting up people on Twitter, being like, hey man, I'm doing an expose on Sundance. You got a story for me? John August, who has a podcast and a website in his own right, but has written, you know, every Tim Burton movie since whenever.
Seriously. You got some name people.
I did work. And unfortunately, the only person, which was my biggest thing that I got sold on, was like, well, hey, maybe you could talk to Kevin Smith. And I was like, fuck yes, I wanted to talk to Kevin Smith so bad. And I tried so hard.
I
tried so hard to get Kevin Smith.
You would have eventually, I think.
I would have eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
But so they kept pressuring me to turn in what I had, but they didn't really give me a deadline, and they didn't really say, well...
What was the expectations? What did we expect from you? For the article to be published, what did they expect?
The only expectation that I had was to find these people's stories. And then, like, they sort of complained about some of the stories being non-stories, which I completely didn't agree with. I mean, I loved hearing some of those stories.
Yeah, and shut up. I don't even care what they're saying. We just want to hear them talk. They're talking about stuff that's important to them. Who are you?
Setting up.
Who are you to say what so and so should be talking about?
Right, and if you're asking a very vague question about your favorite Sundance moment, well, look, this is what they remember.
It's open for discussion there, right?
Matt Singer, his story, which I was the funniest out of the bunch. Oh no, I take that back. A couple of people ended up at a concert with Snoop Dogg. In a private club. They were pretty funny. Like, Matt Singer ended up interviewing a couple of guys in a hot tub because they were there promoting some documentary about swimmers. Completely ridiculous.
Who does not want to hear that?
That's funny shit. I don't know. I don't know what you want.
I agree.
More than that.
I agree.
So I got all of these people's stories, or apparently non-stories, and I turned it in, and they didn't like it. Which was fine, I guess, but the thing that sort of upset me the most is I kind of put myself out there. Like, I because I didn't know what the deadline was and because people were sort of hounding me for the stories, I was then hounding people for their stories to give them to me, whether get them on the phone or send me an email. And I kind of had to bug some people, which I didn't really feel comfortable doing because I don't know them.
Like maybe gave you a bad rep.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And then the people I did talk to, who I had a great rapport with, were like, oh, when is it going to publish? And I said, oh, I think it's going to be for this. And like, oh, well, will you send us a link when it's done? And yes, of course, obviously, or send you a copy or whatever. And now, I'm sure I'm probably overthinking this too much, and they get interviewed by... I don't think anybody's sitting around being like, whatever happened to that Sundance article? Like, I'm sure this happens all the time, but again, I don't know. So for me to kind of like, hey man, can you get me so-and-so's number? I want to do an interview, and then have those people give me their time to do said interview, and then have it not go anywhere. Yeah, I mean, it feels like a complete failure.
Again, the point is that you feel like it's ruining your rep. Should you ever want to do that in the future?
Well,
should it ever come up again that you need to go interview, you would have liked to have been able to count on those people because you gave positive press.
Well,
but you didn't. You can't even fall back on that.
Well, it's not even press. It has nothing to do with that.
No, I'm
it
just
has
saying,
to do with the fact that I asked for a favor. And they gave me a favor, and
should you have published something nice about them, they would have been like, cool.
Well,
if they actually saw something come out nice about them, and you wrote a good article, those people that you interviewed would have been like, great article.
Right.
I like how you said that.
Exactly.
So, that's awesome. And talk to me later if you want to talk to anybody else. I got it. So, talking about what should have happened... when you were asked to write an article, because that's not your experience.
The biggest thing for me is, well, how long should it be?
How many words,
specifically?
That's what they ask for in an article. Words, not pages.
Right, exactly. It's how many words, when is it due? There should be an exact date, and I was never given an exact date.
Correct.
My quote unquote deadline was we want it done before Sundance happens. And they approached me in November, and Sundance is in January, February.
Is there anybody you expect to be interviewed? If you're looking for people before Sundance, is there anybody you actually really, really want?
Okay. Backtrack just because this is actually,
I know,
that's actually
it
really
is.
Important is because when they said, hey, we kind of want you to meet, we're thinking maybe you could talk to like people like Kevin Smith. I'm thinking, okay, cool. So you're going to like make a phone call, right? I didn't know that I had to go out and find people. And they gave me a list of people that I should contact. And I thought it was only like one or two names. And then they threw in other names, but not contact information. So then I went back and I'm like, is there an in? Like, I'm not just going to cold call someone and be like, hey, I'm writing this article. Is there an in? And there was no in. It was like, well, maybe you should call their publicist or call their agent. I didn't know that. I didn't know I actually had to do the work. Actually,
right.
I thought there was going to be somebody to set it up.
Never writing an article like that before. Yes.
I thought somebody
was
just going to set it up.
I had no experience.
Like, hey man, we have a liaison at the magazine.
Now you might be able to think of a little way to get in the back door of assistant, blah, blah,
right.
blah,
and
whatever.
Which I later did find that out because I got to a couple of people
right.
through the proper channels.
Right.
But I didn't know. I kind of had to figure that out on my own. I sent an email back to the editor being like, are you guys going to set up this or not? And they're like, no, call the publicist.
So, in the end, you did not, while you got as many people, and great people, by the way.
Yeah, funny stories.
People, and great stories. And I remember hearing them. I thought they were awesome. Would have loved for other people to hear them. So,
what the interesting thing is, so I made kind of a rookie mistake. at the end.
A couple.
Well, no. All throughout.
Oh, yeah. Rookie mistakes all over the place.
But at the end, what started happening was Sundance passed, and there was no news on what I turned in. And so then, like, another month went by, and I wrote and I sent an email saying, like, hey, man, what's going on? Are we using this? Are we not using this?
Do you need me
to get more people? Like, what's going on? And I get a very vague email back saying, we were just talking about that today. Bullshit. And we're working on trying to figure out something. Okay, fine. So then another month passes, and I write back and I say, hey, look, if you guys aren't using it, that's fine.
I would like to reprint these stories.
I want to put the stories.
Because they're awesome.
I want to put the stories in the column. And I also didn't really have an idea for a column that week, so I was trying to save myself.
It was cheating. Yeah.
And the editor writes back saying, no, we own the idea, which, go get Sundance People's Memories. How is that
really?
their idea?
I know, it's kind of adorable.
So, they gave
patented.
Me...
It's patented.
They gave me a kill fee. They said, well, no, you're not allowed to use it. We're either going to use it and pay you for what we use, or we're going to give you a kill fee, which basically means we're killing it. It's dead in the water. Here's the money. Here's a little chunk of change. Thanks for your hard work. And months went by. And literally, I think it was July, beginning of July, I finally get an email from the editor that says, hey, what's your address? We're sending you a kill fee. And so then that took another month.
And I just want to say, we were like, hey, I wonder how much the kill fee is. Had no idea. Never asked.
Had
no idea what the kill fee was.
Didn't really care.
No, and it wasn't the point, but it was kind of fascinating.
I mean, at this point, it had been almost 10 months since I did most of the work.
So funny.
So another month goes by, and I finally get a check in the mail.
Go ahead, say it.
It was $200.
All right.
And which, you know what, we'll just get into that. The actual fee that they paid was 50 cents a word, which means if I wrote 1,000-word column, which I normally write, it would have been $500.
Right.
I ended up turning in, I think the stories kind of all added up to about 2,500 words. So, yeah, they got all of that for $200. That's kind of a deal.
And what's funny to me is those stories will be timely tomorrow, next year, the next year, and the next year. Those stories were not based on the years of...
It was their experiences. No, right. There was no specific year.
So if they run that article 3 years from now...
I don't know if they can. I don't know. That's another good question. If they pay you a kill fee...
Again, we have no idea. We have no idea how that goes. Is that allowed? Probably, maybe. I don't know.
I would have to read the magazine, and I don't read the magazine.
Yeah, it's a sad thing.
So anyway, don't if you ever get approached to
pay attention, ask the questions.
It was the magazine industry, not my forte.
You're not going there anyway.
Yeah,
so,
and that's not what I'm looking for. So yeah, I've been actually really, really dying to tell that story for a long time, and it's been so tempting, but,
had to
wait for the check and for the check to clear.
You don't want anybody yelling about it before you get the check.
Exactly.
They can yell about it now.
Yeah.
If they listen
to
you.
That's fine. They don't. Who does? Nobody does.
Nah. I don't think anyone's hearing this.
Who knows? Maybe these minutes will get cut out of this week's. All right, well, I think that's going to be it for this week. Hey, we're hoping, fingers crossed, knocking on wood, we're going to have a very special guest next week. We're going to have a lot of fun hanging out with him. So more details on that, or not, really.
Brunch and a guest.
That's how we're going to roll. So that's it. For Confessions of a Hollywood Gatekeeper, I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
Till next week.
Peace out. We could have bought a house with a swimming pool.